Greetings, friends, and welcome to the Beach Church Podcast. This is the podcast for Sunday, May 7th, the year of our Lord, 2023. This is the fifth Sunday of Easter. A joy once again to welcome you here to the podcast. I pray God's peace be with you wherever you are and whenever you listen. I think it's turning into a beautiful morning here on the Emerald Coast of Florida, here in Pensacola Beach. And so as the sun starts to come in through the sanctuary window here, let's join together in celebrating those things that are good and beautiful and true and pure and worthy and lovely. And let's start with a breath to take in the breath of life, to call to mind these good things, these gifts from God, and to give thanks to God for all that is good, and to allow that joy to fill our hearts and our minds. Turn your face toward the heavens, and in this spirit, in this posture, let us begin together in worship. Please join with me in the opening prayer as printed in your bulletin. You can find that bulletin, I think, just below where you found today's podcast. Click on that tab, and the bulletin will come up for you. So let's begin. Living God, long ago, faithful women proclaimed the good news of Jesus' resurrection, and the world was changed forever. Teach us to keep faith with them, that our witness may be as bold, our love as deep, and our faith as true. Amen. Our gospel reading today comes from the Gospel of John in the 14th chapter, and we are going to read verses 1 through 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, Show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own. But the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me anything, I will do it. This is the word of God for the people of God. And we give thanks to God for it. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your word alive among us. The words of the page, the words spoken, and your word. Our Jesus, who was with you in the beginning. And so we pray, O God, draw near to us in this time of reflection. Help us to hear exactly what you need us to hear. Then cast the rest away. Save us from distraction and misinterpretation. We ask all of this in your holy name, and we say, Amen. Some things are better than we can imagine. Some things are better than our minds allow us to take in. Our critical thinking, our understandings of practical reality. I think we've all had experiences of we had a certain expectation in mind of maybe how accommodations on a vacation might be, or what we might anticipate at a new job. And sometimes things are much bigger and better than we allowed ourselves to ever hope for. I think we have a little bit of that going on in this particular passage, this exchange that Jesus has with his disciples, and then specifically with Thomas and with Philip. This story takes place in a broader set of teachings, of stories. Chapters 13 through 17 in John's Gospel are often referred to as the farewell discourse. And that is Jesus preparing his disciples for his departure. But not only his departure, as we say around church, for in the midst of this life that he is living with them, he prepares them for his death, his crucifixion, gives them hints in light about his resurrection, and then his ascension, his return to the Father. That's a lot to take in. We've had thousands of years to think about it, and we're still talking about it. it still sometimes raises more questions than answers. And I think that's what's stirring in the heart of Thomas and Philip. Is like, as the expression is sometimes, it's like drinking from a fire hose. There's so much to take in. And Jesus is just trying to help simplify it for them. Don't get caught up in the weeds. See me. Remember the stories. This teaching that he offers them great hope. And it may seem funny for us to be looking at this story on the fifth Sunday of Easter, but I believe it's placed at this moment in the lectionary and on the calendar because it puts us in solidarity with the disciples, how they must have felt at this point post-resurrection. We have the stories of the crucifixion, the empty tomb, and then the appearances of Jesus. And then these followers desperately trying to start to put it together. And they would have had to told the stories from the previous 3 years. Do you remember, Thomas, what was that thing he said to you? Philip, what was someone? Remember, he said that thing, his father's house with many rooms. Let's all try to remember that. How did you hear it? True for them, true for us. Trying to take in these teachings, we just get a sampling. As John says, there were so many things that he did. There's not enough books in the world to contain the wonders of the life ministry of Jesus. And so he counsels them. I think it's important to go back to 13 real quick. How does chapter 13 begin? It begins with Jesus' washing of the disciples' feet, helping them understand what the way of Jesus is like. It's the rabbi humbling himself to wash his students' feet. And if you're going to follow me, you're going to be like me. To be as I am is to do these acts of service. Jesus foretells in this 13th chapter of his betrayal. He offers this new commandment. He foretells of Peter's denial. If you get your Bible out, those are all the headings within chapter 13. And then you flip over to 14 in my Bible. It says, Jesus, the way to the Father. Which is the central challenge that Philip and Thomas are having. And it might be very much a central challenge that we're having. And 14 calms us all down when Jesus says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. And then he goes on to say, in my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also. If you've been around for a while, you probably heard that passage read at many funerals in your life. And rightly so. It is to give us comfort in that moment of grief and agony where we don't know what the way forward looks like, when it can feel like a permanent door, a stone has been rolled between the one we have loved and lost to death. In that there's no way of getting beyond that stone, this comfort of Jesus reminds us. And remember, he's telling the disciples this prior to his crucifixion, so that as those events unfold, they have the strength of his promises to rely on. He tells them, and they tell us, and we spend this season just like they did, putting the story together so that our hearts would not be troubled, that we could believe in God, But of course, it's not easy for them to take in. After these lines about this house with many rooms, Jesus says, "And you know the way to the place where I'm going." And Thomas just says, "Wait, hold up. We don't know. You're kind of scaring me a little bit. We don't know the way to the place we are going. How can we know?" And Jesus said to him, "Thomas, me. I'm the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. And from now on, you do know him because you've seen me and have seen me." Thomas had to kind of thought about that one. Jesus had made other I am statements. And this one puts it right out there in front of him. When he thinks about it, when we think about it, Jesus is saying nothing less than this: I am the full expression, the living expression of this law, this Torah you grew up with. This is what it looks like to be lived out. I'm the way. I am the way. The washing of the feet that we just did, that's the way. And when you practice in the way, when you walk in the way of the rabbi, you walk in the presence of God. You've seen it. And I think Thomas chews on that, but Philip is right there to ask yet another question. "Lord, show us the Father. We'll be satisfied." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip?" It's really the same thing. Just like I said to Thomas, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You've participated in it already, brother. "The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own. They come because of this intimate relationship I have with God the Father, maker of heaven and earth, fully expressed through me." He is not only preparing them again for his death, his resurrection, but his ascension. He's speaking of the ascended life, and that they're all invited, and that they are not alone, and there'll never be a moment where they are outside of the Father's love. "I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it." If in my name. If it's something that I could put my name on, I'll do it. Friends, I just pray that you'll spend a little time today reading through this brief passage. Or maybe challenge yourself and read chapters 13 through 17. And I will guarantee you, as much as I can guarantee anything in this world, I rest assured that you do that, and this opening line of chapter 14 will come true in your heart. That your heart will not be troubled, that you'll find a peace, an assurance that there is a way, and it is the way of prayer. It is the way of hope and joy and peace and love. It is the way of loving compassion. It is the embrace of holy mystery that we find when we sit in the presence of our Lord Jesus. It's profoundly good news. It's hard to understand sometimes. But know that in our questioning, we're in good company. And we have a beautiful, wonderful, loving teacher in the presence of our Lord Jesus, God with us, Emmanuel. It's good news, to which I say, Amen. Gracious and merciful God, we give you thanks. Thanks for your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. in whom we live and breathe and have our very being. We pray, O God, that you would calm our troubled hearts, that you would help us to see how very close you are, that through our Gospels we have seen Christ. And having seen Christ, we have seen you. And through the gift of your Holy Spirit, we participate in the love between the Father and the Son. It is beautiful and wonderful. And it fills us with strength and hope. And on this day, O God, we pray for this, your good world. We pray for your guidance. We pray for your forgiveness and your correction, that you would soften the hearts of the powerful, that you would remedy the indifference, that you would help people in positions of authority to see the world through your eyes and to see themselves as you see them. And I pray that you'd come alongside each and every one of us, abide with us, O God, bringing your forgiveness and your hope, your strength and your encouragement. And God, you know that each one of us carries inside a prayer list of sorts, things we're anxious about, things we're hopeful for, things we celebrate, things we feel we dare not tell anybody else. But we make quiet space. We take a moment, O God, to sit in your presence, to share our hearts with you, and to listen for your still, small voice. And we break our silence. We give you thanks for the gifts of peace and quiet. And we celebrate a prayer that we've inherited, a precious gift, a prayer that goes by your name. Hear us, O God, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, as we prepare to part company, I pray that your hearts are full, and that your hearts are perhaps less troubled than they might have been when you first clicked on the podcast this morning, that our trust in Jesus is very, very well placed, and that as we study his words, as we read our scriptures and offer our prayer, we find ourselves in the presence of God Almighty, in the loving, caring, and eternal house of our Father. our God, whom we know in three persons, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, who blesses you and bids you peace. Go in peace. Amen.
Thank you.